Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by becoming a congregational sponsor. When your church pledges $1,000, we'll publicize your congregation on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Learn more on the support donate page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Become an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick.
If you stop and think about it, the Bible could have started anyway. It could have started midstream and then gone back and told the story of God creating the world a little later. But it doesn't. It starts at the very beginning, in the beginning, with God's act of creation. Is that merely chronological, or does it signal that, well, the fact that God is our creator and that he made everything out of nothing, as Scripture later asserts, is pretty important. Maybe it's foundational for understanding the other truths of Holy Scripture. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to teach a Sunday school lesson on God creating the world in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. Pastor Tom Baker joins us. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Why is the Bible's teaching on creation important?
It has a number of lessons to it. The first being the fact that God made everything. We confess that in the Catechism, the first article, explanation by Martin Luther. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. Not only does God create the world, but God also continues to sustain the world. And it also sets the stage for the necessity of a Savior. Because when God created Adam and Eve, they had a perfect relationship with him. They were righteous and holy, doing his will. Thus, to be created in God's image was to be created in Christ. But it also answers the question, and I've heard this often as a pastor, why am I held accountable for the sin of Adam and Eve? The fact is that when God created Adam and Eve, he gave dominion over all of creation. Remember, Adam uses this dominion by naming all of the creatures that God parades before him. Also, he creates a deep sleep in Adam and creates Eve from Adam's own flesh. Therefore, according to Romans 8, verse 21, because of their dominion over the whole universe, all of creation suffers in bondage to corruption.
Many Christians have abandoned the Bible's teaching of creation for some version of evolution. What's the danger in doing so?
The danger in doing so is that it gives the impression that God did not create things out of nothing, but that he used one species to result in another kind of species. And the Bible says very clearly that God did not do that. He separated the various species. There's a student Bible put out by Concordia Publishing House called Faith Alive. In fact, we gave a copy of it to our grandchild. She just got confirmed. And what they have, they have pictures and explanations of the Bible. And one of them that they have right in Genesis is the idea of what evolution would be like. they have a picture beginning with very small animals, and that these animals go from a fish kind of to a reptile to a monkey to a human being. And they make the explanation that that doesn't fit the Bible, because not only did God create in six regular 24-hour days, because each day had an evening and a morning, but one kind of plant or animal didn't become a different kind. They each reproduced their own kinds. And what's happened now for a number of people, they no longer believe the necessity of God, because evolution came about by natural selection, and therefore the fittest were able to continue to live. And you can see all kinds of things on television giving the impression that the world is millions and millions of years old, and the universe even longer, because of what they consider the amount of time to create what was in nothing but a Big Bang theory.
How does Genesis 1 describe God's creation of all things?
Yes. One of the interesting things is it does talk about six 24-hour days, but it also says something else that until I studied this, I was somewhat unaware of. And that is the certain days are kind of in parallel to each other. For example, day one, Jesus Christ creates light, but it's not until day four that he creates the sun and the moon to divide the various lights. Then on day two, they have a picture of God creating the next item, and that's the division between the heavens and the earth. But it's not till you get till day five that the water now has fish and other animals in it, and the land has animals. And on day three, he makes the foundation of the world with trees, etc. But it's not till day six that he puts on the earth not only animals, but that's also the creation of Adam and Eve. So God has a specific way in helping the Sunday school children understand what he was doing. And therefore, there are ways in which to teach the Sunday school that God is the maker and the sustainer of whatever is happening in their life.
What does it mean that God calls his creation good in that chapter?
Yes, the word good in the Hebrew means more than the opposite of bad. It's not as though when God made an animal that the animal had three eyes rather than the two it should have. No. What the word good meant is that in creation, it followed the purpose of the will of God. So when we talk about Adam and Eve being good, it meant that they were righteous in God's sight. They had the image of God. Therefore, when they fell into sin, they lost that goodness. I hear this mistake made by a number of theologians who say we should love everyone because we are all made in the image of God. No. When you are born, you are born as a sinner. You no longer have the image of God. But what Christ has done for us, he's redeemed us from a sinful life and given us again his image. It's very, very important because it talks about in Malachi that God is like a silversmith. And the way a silversmith discovers silver, he takes the last clump of the clay that has silver in it and other metals, and he puts it over a hot flame. But if he keeps it over the hot flame too long, then it destroys the silver. So how does he know when the hot flame has done its work? He says, I see my image in the flame. The silver protrudes through, and that's how silver is concocted, getting rid of those other metals that are not part of the silver. That's what Christ has done with the Holy Spirit. He's renewed in us the image of God by planting the Holy Spirit in us at our baptism, and therefore we are now having the image of God that is perfected at the time of Judgment Day when we receive our fully new body and our renewed spirit, and they are in the image of Jesus Christ.
What is important about the seventh day?
The seventh day, it says that God rested, but a lot of people may be confused about that. Oh, so God got tired and he needed to rest. No, what that word rest means is a time like we go to church. Remember the third commandment? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And the word Sabbath doesn't mean Saturday. It doesn't mean seventh. It means day of rest. So what do? In a Sabbath worship, we set aside the work we are doing and we rest in both hearing the word of God and talking to God in our prayers. There is no noise in a church except God's word that is heard. And that's why Luther says the real meaning of the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, is that we should fear and love God, that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. So that seventh day, which became part of the ceremonial law, is now abrogated. The ceremonial laws are no longer in effect. So our seventh day can be any day of worship, as we do have it in the church with Ash Wednesday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday. Often we have an Easter service on Saturday before Easter. Sunday, many worship. A number of congregations also have worship on Monday evening. And so about the only day I'm unaware of a lot of churches worshiping is Tuesday. But it doesn't matter what day you worship, as long as that Sabbath is held. When we went on vacation, my dad would have us do a worship service on the beach because there was no church near where we were, in order that the Sabbath day would be obeyed.
What is happening in Genesis chapter 2? We get the creation account in 1. What's happening in 2?
Yes, a lot of people think chapter 2 contradicts chapter 1 because of the order. Things are in a different order. I explain it this way. When you build a church, chapter 1 talks about, well, first you put in the foundation, then you put up the walls, then you put up the ceiling, Then you divide the rooms. Then you furnish the rooms. Chapter 2 is kind of looking at a finished product. And so that's why things are not in a chronological order as God looks at things. But the main point of chapter 2 is really a reference back to chapter 1. Why did God create a woman for Adam? And chapter 2 explains that. When he was naming the animals, he found no animal suitable for him. So God made that which would be suitable for him. Suitable for a man was a woman. And that's why marriage is always to be between a man and a woman. And that's a big teaching in chapter 2 of Genesis.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel for almost 30 years. He met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. We'll take up the image of God next. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by becoming a congregational sponsor. When your church pledges $1,000, we'll publicize your congregation on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Learn more on the support donate page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Become an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor.
Job saw the city as a wasteland, as if devoid of God, witnessing injustice to the poor by the corrupt, lawlessness of criminals, trafficking of children, blatant immorality, thinking God could not see wicked deeds done in the dark of night. Yet God never abandoned Job, nor his city, groaning for mercy. God is working through the living Redeemer, hands etched with salvation, pointing to the resurrection to come. Join us at lcms.org/citymission to seek peace and shine the light in the city.
Sanctifying your commute with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues Etc.
One of the roles a pastor performs in a congregation is helping congregation members get through conflict and difficulty. But what happens in a congregation when maybe the pastor is part of the conflict? What do we do? How do we interact with our pastor in that circumstance? Well, the Reverend John Hill takes up this question in the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness in his article, Peace in the Parish. To order your copy, visit cph.org/witness or visit the Lutheran Witness website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Is your school or homeschool ready to take the next step in teaching students with learning challenges? We can help. The Simply Classical curriculum, voted number one for special learners, is available from Memoria Press for students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome. We provide everything you need for a full year. Use promo code LPR21 at simplyclassical.com. Simplyclassical.com.
In a sermon, 16th century reformer Martin Luther explained, "We live on earth only so that we should be a help to other people. Everything then should be directed in such a way that you recognize what God has done for you and that you thereafter make your highest priority to proclaim this publicly and call everyone to the light to which you were called." An excerpt from the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life. Call Concordia Publishing House and ask for this book. 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on God creating the world in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. So Tom, you've mentioned the image of God. What is it?
Yes, once more, this is a very important word that a lot of people they're mistaken about because they take the idea of image the way we use it. For example, people have met my father, then they meet me, and they say to my mother, "Boy, your son Tom is the spitting image of your husband." Now, what they're looking at are the way we look. But that's not at all what God means, because God the Father is a spirit. God the Son had not yet become incarnate. And the Holy Spirit is also, as it says, a spirit. So what does the image of God mean? It means the way God interacts with us. He interacts with us not on the basis of justice, where he gives you what you deserve, but on the basis of mercy, where he does not give you what you deserve, and on the basis of grace, where he gives you what you don't deserve, namely the forgiveness of sins and salvation. Adam and Eve had that image until they listened to the serpent and decided the serpent was correct. They wanted to be like God, and therefore they had to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And therefore that sin was a sin against the first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And they decided they wanted to be God themselves. So they lost that image. But you only have to go to chapter 3, where Adam and Eve were removed from the garden, but God made a promise, speaking to the serpent, that there was a seed to come from Eve, and he will crush the head of the serpent, that is the devil, and in the meantime, the serpent will wound his heel. Well, that's nothing other than Jesus Christ. So even in the creation incident, chapters 1 to 3, we hear about Jesus Christ coming as the Savior, and that's how our image is renewed.
Why is it important to note that God creates by speaking?
Yes. The Concordia Publishing House has put out a material for this summer that I would really encourage folks to look at, because it gives a lot of advice to what the teacher can say to the students in making the important points of creation. It's one of the best ones I've seen for a Sunday school lesson. And one of the object lessons they have, they are to take some pieces of clay, put it on a table, and then they are to take a bag, not open it, put it on the table. And then they are to go through the creation of the world, how God fashioned the clay into plants, animals, and even human beings. And at the end of it, the question is asked the students, "What is in the bag?" And the students open it, and guess what? Nothing is in the bag. I thought that was a really good way of showing that God created by his word. He simply spoke, and it was so. And we see that happening in the ministry of Jesus. He spoke, and a few fish and some bread feeds 5,000 men, plus women and children. He speaks, and a man who is lame jumps up and is able to walk. He speaks, and a little girl, the daughter of Jairus, a synagogue leader, comes back from the dead. This is God himself doing the very same thing that he did in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Because look at Genesis. The first verse is God the Father. The second verse is God the Holy Spirit. And the third verse is Jesus Christ. Because according to John 1, nothing was created that was not created by Jesus, our Savior.
Scripture teaches that God not only made everything, but he also sustains and maintains all things. How so?
Yes. The reason I'm able to get up in the morning and walk around is because God has given me the strength to do so. Just visit most hospitals where a lot of people are lying in bed, unable to get around. We thank God that he continues to sustain us. And when he doesn't, it's really because we're like that piece of silver on that flame of fire that is being made into purified silver in the image of Jesus. And that often occurs as God uses the flame in our lives, our illnesses, our sufferings, our tragedies, to bring us closer to him. And that's why it's so important to realize he is sustaining all things, because nothing in and of itself can sustain itself. There's only one power in the universe. That's why God is referred to as Almighty, because he alone has all might.
How does the creation account then point us to Christ?
The creation account reminds us that we are like Adam and Eve, that we want to become like God. We don't like his views on certain things, and so we want to make ourselves like God. And when we read his commandments, we are not very appreciative of them, because we want to have fun in life. And a lot of times the commandments appear to say, no, you cannot do this or do that. And so we disobey the commandments. And as we do that, we begin to realize the need for a Savior. And we're like John the Baptizer, teaching about the necessity of repentance, and then teaching about the one coming after him who will not only baptize us with water, but with the gift of the Holy Spirit. So everything in the Bible always points us to Christ. And that's what the goal of a Sunday school teacher is to do.
With about 20 seconds here, what's the law and gospel of this lesson?
The law is, many times we want to do what we want to do rather than what Christ wants us to do. And therefore, we're accused of trying to be like God. Then we hear about God's mercy and grace, and realize that he restores to us the righteousness lost in the Garden of Eden, so that on the day of judgment, heaven is our certain home.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. For more information on Law and Gospel, go to issuesetc.org, click Talk on Demand Archives. Tom, thanks.
Thank you.
Wednesday on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Katie Faust about a New York Times column, I Did IVF Without a Partner, It Shouldn't Have Been So Hard. We'll continue our Proverbs series with Pastor Jonathan Fisk, and we'll discuss media coverage of religion with Terry Mattingly. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Jesus the Good Shepherd says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." We invite you to join us as we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him who gives us eternal life. Sunday worship services at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible class at 10:30, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, on the web at goodshepherdarnold.org. That's goodshepherdarnold.org.
We are sustained by the water of life in baptism, the words of life in his word, the bread of life in his holy supper. In the name of Jesus.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.